How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. My name is Chad. With me, as usual, is Leonard. This is a show about wrestling. And this week, we're going to be reviewing the Royal Rumble. Well, I will be reviewing the Royal Rumble since I'm the one that watched it. Leonard did not watch it. He is protesting the ESPN upgrade, right, Leonard?
Yes, so on I believe our very last episode, it was mentioned that we had recently upgraded to the Disney Hulu ESPN, Magic Mountain Mars bundle of Jesusness or whatever it is. But there's like levels above that level.
Yes.
And so when I went to look, I had the Royal Rumble countdown show. The pre-show, the show, the after show, and the media scrum. I'm not exaggerating. There was five different widgets for all of the different things that was connected. And apparently I could watch the countdown, but nothing else from what I could figure out.
Yeah, so like before we get to the event itself, let's just talk about briefly like where we're at here with WWE's content. Because currently, if you want to watch everything that WWE puts out, at one point it was just the network, which was anywhere from I don't know what it was, $5 to $10 per month, depending on what trials you might have gotten or whatever. And then it shifted to Peacock. Everything was on Peacock. Okay, fine. About $10 a month for Peacock. They offer deals. Now, Saturday Night's Main Event is on Peacock, so you have to subscribe to Peacock for that. Raw is on Netflix, so you have to subscribe to Netflix to some degree to watch that. And if you want to watch the premium live events, you have to subscribe to a certain tier of ESPN. And
Where's SmackDown and NXT?
SmackDown, NXT is on, oh geez, is that on USA? No, it might not be USA.
It's CW. Is it on the CW
CW,
now?
thank you. Thank you. I was gonna remember it. I was getting there. Yes, NXT is on CW. SmackDown, I think, is still Fox. And those are separate ways to watch those things, obviously. So
Right.
currently, you have to pay well over $50 a month to get all of the WWE content. Now, I'm sure other people out there have deals or bundles that offer them whatever. But by and large, all those add up to about over $50, I would say. I haven't done the exact math. It's just interesting where we're at right now. I don't really think the company cares. Like, they're just letting
Yeah, they do
people
not.
win.
And of course, TNA recently debuted on AMC, and TNA has some sort of working agreement with WWE now.
Yep, and yep.
And then now, when we talk AEW, they are still on what? TBS, TNT, and HBO Max.
Yeah, so if you want to watch AEW, they're on TV as they usually are every week. If you would like to watch them through HBO Max, you can do that. You have to subscribe to HBO Max to watch Dynamite or Collision, to watch the replays on there. If you want to watch one of their events, those events do cost money outside of the normal HBO Max subscription price. Now, AEW doesn't do a pay-per-view every month, so it's a little bit different. But no model is perfect. But it's just in WWE's case, we went from one thing to quite another. So, in any event, I have a friend who is allowing
And
me to use.
well, real quick, and it should also be mentioned that all the stuff that was available in the network and all the stuff that was available on Peacock even is not available. Or there's also the WWE Vault channel and WCW Vault channel on YouTube, which I would put forth as being their best programming that they're putting out right now. Not just the fact that it's old wrestling, but the way that they're packaging it and presenting it.
Yeah, no, I like the Vault channel a lot. The only Rumble in years past, I would watch a lot of the Rumbles. I only rewatched one of them this year. I think it was the 2001 Royal Rumble. That's on Netflix now, and it's a little bit easier to navigate than was Peacock. But in any event,
Good. Anyway, you have a friend. You have one friend.
Yes, I do have one friend who has allowed me to use his account to watch these events, which is nice. So, let's get to the event itself. It was held January 31st, 2026, in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, King Abdullah Financial District in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. This was the 14th event to be held in Saudi Arabia. This was the 39th annual Royal Rumble, the first ever to be held outside of North America. And there were only four matches on the main card. I have talked here in the past, I do not watch WWE's programming on a regular basis. I keep up with it through social media and other people's posts and, stuff of that nature. I did watch Saturday night's main event because I was intrigued when I saw that AJ Styles and Nakamura were going to have one final go around. And so I was like, oh, I might as well just watch the whole thing. And they had a number one contenders tournament that culminated in a fatal four way at Saturday night's main event. Sami Zayn won that match. And of course, he faced Drew McIntyre at this event. There was a pre-show, as Leonard mentioned. I did not watch the pre-show. If anybody out there cares to comment on how great those matches were, please feel free. The Wyatt Six defeated the MFTs. So the Wyatt Six is Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy. And the MFTs are Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. 10 minutes and 27 seconds for that match. The Motor City Machine Guns and Shinsuke Nakamura defeated the New Day and Grayson Waller in 11 minutes and 15 seconds, six-man tag match.
Okay. I have if I aside from great when you said the New Day and it was great, I was like Grayson Waller's in the New Day now, but apparently he just hangs out with them. He knows them.
Yeah. So
Okay.
that's
Fair enough.
I have nothing to say. I've never been a Grayson Waller fan. The New Day are still around, good for them. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, very cool that they're staying relevant. I really think that the New Day saga is one of, on one hand, a really great success story, and on the other hand, I think it's actually a sad story because of what happened to Big E. I
Yes.
his story is very tragic. I really
Yes.
believe.
And the fact that they rode the horse that was dead and then rode it another 20 miles.
Yeah. So the first match was, of course, the Women's Royal Rumble match, which was about 1 hour and 7 minutes. Now, before I get to this, I'll just say, to me, by and large, this was, and we talked about this with friend of the show, Ronnie, through our chat. To me, this was the most predictable Rumble event I've ever seen. I could have, if you had asked me, I could have predicted the winners at least of each match. Now, I wouldn't have been able to predict the final two of the women's match because there was like a surprise person that came out. So like I wouldn't have foreseen that, but like I could have easily predicted each final two. And other than that, and certainly the results of the two regular matches. And we'll get to other thoughts on the predictability of that afterwards. But the Women's Royal Rumble match, it reached a point now where I think they were a little bit, it seemed to me anyway, a little bit unsure as to where to go. And you had Charlotte win twice. And last year she won, and it didn't really go the way they wanted it to, I don't think. Fans kind of.
It was like when Batista won that time. Like they, oh, hey, here's the triumphant return. Nope, we don't care. We didn't want that.
In my opinion, looking at this, they had a couple choices, and my choice would have been correct. Liv Morgan was the one that won this event. She has been the runner-up twice before. They obviously really like Liv Morgan, and she's very good. But I think for a while with the Women's Rumble, they went through like, okay, you haven't won it, we'll have you win it. You haven't won it, we'll have you win it. Ronda Rousey's here. Let's have her win it because it's Ronda Rousey. And now they're at a point where they have a handful of women that are really hot, and I mean hot in terms of their popularity. And then they have a ton of really talented female wrestlers who are just almost carbon copies of each other in terms of how they look, in terms of the way their names come off, in terms of their training. So many of them, I was watching with my kids and they like, who is that again? I don't know. I think they have a problem in that way. And like one of the new women that they had come in the past year or so, who wasn't trained there, obviously moved right up the card, Stephanie Vaquer. Because she wasn't trained there, she stands out. And like everybody else, though, like to me, it has a very a sameness to it. The Rumble, the Women's Rumble itself, it came off to me very sloppy. And like there were many times when I was watching it, and Leonard, you'll be able to comment on this in past Rumbles you've seen. I looked at the ring and I was like, there's just like a ton of people just laying there doing nothing. There's too many people in this ring and they're all just laying there waiting for the next spot. And it was just like, we have nothing for any of these people to do. We're not ready for their eliminations yet. So everybody's just kind of hanging out on the apron. And that was so much more glaring in the Women's Rumble for this year than it was for the men. The men's was a little bit more spread out, had its own issues, but the women's one was just like not good to me in that way.
Well, I think we talked about that last year too. And I think part of the problem is you're to the point, and it's like the same thing with The Simpsons. The Simpsons are written by people who grew up watching The Simpsons.
Right.
Triple H, quote unquote, grew up watching Pat Patterson book a Rumble.
Right.
So that's the problem. You're copying the copy at this point.
And Tiffany Stratton was the surprise. I guess she was injured and she came back. So as soon as I saw her come back, I was like, well, it's either going to be her or Liv Morgan, because there is nobody else. Like Brie Bella came back. Cool to see her. She doesn't do much wrestling. Nikki Bella was also there, of course, but she does stuff every once in a blue moon. Like Brie Bella doesn't really do much at all. I think it was 2022 the last time she made an appearance. The crowd really went crazy for her. And we'll get to the crowd reactions in a bit. For people that like they grew up watching, like the crowd reacted. If they didn't really know who they were completely dead. So Brie Bella, they had a big reaction for her. She got, in my opinion, she got one of the biggest reactions of the night. But in any event, it came down to Liv and Tiffany Stratton, and I forget who else was on the apron with them, and Liv Morgan won. Good for her. Charlotte Flair, who is still looked at as the workhorse, even though, well, we know the crowd doesn't necessarily want to see her win. They put her in the Iron Woman position, 59 minutes and 49 seconds. Very good performance from her overall. So that was it with the Women's Rumble. Liv Morgan will be going to WrestleMania. So after that, we had the AJ Styles versus Gunther match, AJ's career on the line. I think with how this was going, he was facing Nakamura for the last time. He had a moment with CM Punk in the ring where, CM Punk said, what a great career, this, that, and the other. There was lots of hugging, all this kind of stuff. AJ wasn't going to win this match.
No.
Like, if...
And they're giving Gunther the monster push. He put out Cena, he's put out AJ.
Well, to a degree, you're right, and to a degree, you're not. And we'll get to that.
Okay, because again, I know nothing about what happened other than I kind of saw the result names and
Right.
that's
And yeah, so they're giving Gunther this spot. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if AJ had a hand in picking Gunther for this spot. Like he was, I think, AJ thought, if I'm gonna have a last match, this is a good guy to have it with.
Let me
So
ask you this again. I don't know where you're going, but WrestleMania, Gunther versus Randy Orton. career in line.
I guess they could go that route. I mean, if they're going to continue with his career stuff, I don't know what Randy Orton has planned, life or, wrestling wise, but it's possible. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. But of course, AJ lost and, lost to the sleeper hold. He didn't do a John Cena face, so we thank him for that. The match itself was fine. It wasn't one of AJ's best. It wasn't one of Gunther's best, but it was fine. These two guys are very good in the ring, and I had no complaints in that regard. I think that, and I've talked about this with other people, and we've talked about it on a different show. I think AJ's done. He apparently has told Pete Rosenberg and Triple H in the post show that he was done in ring. Everybody who saw what AJ did at after the match. So after the match, Leonard, it was a little bit awkward in that he initially was taking off his gloves and he was going to lay them down. The crowd's chanting for him, no, don't do that. He puts the gloves back on. He leaves the ring. Then he goes back in the ring and does this, the too sweet, the Bullet Club, hand gesture, whatever. And that's how it's left. So everybody on the internet took that to mean he's not done, AEW bound. I've talked about this in the past show that we talked about. I've talked about it with other people. I don't know AJ, but I've always looked at him as being somebody that's fiercely loyal. And I just get the impression that he might just be done because he's just t like when you say 2026 is your last year and you end that year in January. That just tells me, you know what? I'm tired of doing this. Like, so.
Yeah, I would say so. The only thing I could see, and because WWE does have a working agreement, is he shows up in TNA for a match.
Yeah, I mean, he did make it. See, that was the other part that kind of led me to believe he was going to lose this because he did make an appearance on TNA
Oh,
TV.
there you go. Okay, there you go.
Just to, I think he just did a promo and that was it. But, at most, I could conceivably see him doing something with New Japan. But I think that's even a stretch because New Japan has a relationship with AEW. So I don't see it. But who knows? I mean, I don't know who he's good friends with in AEW. So we'll see. But hats off to him for a great career. Dave Meltzer and I think Brian Alvarez made comments that there was no like people coming out on the ramp giving him a clap. There was none of that. Not really a big send off. So take of that what you will, but AJ's career, at least in WWE, is done. The next match was Drew McIntyre versus Sami Zayn for the WWE Championship. They really did try to build it up as Sami Zayn having a shot here. I don't know how many times the Royal Rumble event has had a WWE Championship change hands. It doesn't happen often. To me, if you're getting a championship match at the Royal Rumble, it's like, you got to be like, shit. Like, I'm dead in the water because Kevin Owens had like 20 against Roman Reigns.
Warrior versus Slaughter would be the
That's
first one I could
one.
think of.
And that was
So
like the very first.
that was
So,
the very first time, yes.
Sami Zayn lost. And, that match, again, it was fine. It was very by the numbers as far as what those guys do and what WWE does, in my opinion, which is you have a little bit of brawling and then you have. 80% of finishers. That to me, that is the WWE style right now. And I know I'm exaggerating, but not I'm only slightly. So that match was what it was. If I'm giving ratings, I might give like 3.5 to the AJ match, and I might give like three and a quarter to the Drew Sammy match. And then we had the men's Royal Rumble match, which was 56 minutes and 10 seconds. And Roman Reigns came out as the victor of this match, which again, I thought for sure was going to happen because I just looked at Roman Reigns having nothing to do. Like he has no storylines. Like in literally nothing to do. And he's like still a top guy. So of course, and he's only won once. So it's like the Oscars, Leonard. It's like, well, I'll give you a second one. A third? That's rare territory. Like, So Reigns won by last eliminating Gunther, and I joked with a friend, like, they give Gunther all these careers, and but winning the Rumble, no, we're not having that. And he again has been there at the end on several occasions.
Yes.
So I personally think that at this point, the Rumble has lost its effect of being like, okay, we're ready to see this guy make it to that next level. It's not that way anymore, not for the women and not for the men. It's now a, okay, this is who we want to have in the
It's a
wrestling.
novelty that has lost its novelty.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. Some stats. Javon Evans was the Iron Man for this event. He won. He got 40 minutes and I think 58 seconds. So they're obviously high on him, and they're obviously high on Obafemi, who was the first one in. I guess they had a thing with some guy in a hood attacking Bron Breakker, so Bron Breakker got eliminated like right away. Bushwhacker Luke style, or Bushwhacker Butch style, right? Butch.
Butch, I believe it was Butch.
Butch was a tough guy. Luke, I meant Luke.
Okay.
So Obafemi and Roman Reigns tied for most eliminations in the event. They both had five each. Roman Reigns now has 41 eliminations total, which is short of only Kane, who has 46. And so in terms of surprises, the biggest surprise was probably Powerhouse Hobbs, who is now Royce Keyes. He was, of course, in AEW. Everybody knew that he didn't take the AEW deal and that he signed with WWE. It was likely that he was going to debut at the Rumble. And they had his Powerhouse Hobbs name on the graphic, and the walls kind of crashed through, and it revealed his new name, Royce Keyes, which I guess is sentimental to him. I think his son is named Royce Keyes.
His son's name is Royce, and I believe it's his mother's maiden name is
Yeah,
Key.
which is
Something like that. I saw it the other day.
Very cool. I do think they did him a little dirty because nobody knew who he was. Because, and how nobody thought of this is beyond mind-boggling to me. People in Saudi Arabia don't watch AEW because obviously they don't.
Yeah.
So
Okay. Yeah.
you have somebody debuting and you're going to have him debut, and like literally crickets. Nobody knew who he was. And there was a lot of people like that, the women and the men. If they didn't know who this person was, like for instance, there was a lot of people from AAA who now WWE owns that came out. Crickets. Why? They don't watch AAA.
Yeah.
So.
If you're gonna do that, you need to have you know who they would have went crazy for? Jim Duggan.
Oh my God. Anybody from the Attitude Era. Or even early Ruthless Aggression era.
Yeah, well, I said Jim Duggan since he was the very first ever Royal Rumble winner. But I think what was it the first time they went over there, like the King asked for what was it, Ultimate Warrior and like a bunch of dead guys. Like Yokozuna or something. It was like people who were, and that's why they wound up sending like Hulk Hogan and all these retired guys just to be present,
Right.
because that's who they knew.
Exactly. So yeah, you had a lot of those reactions. And I'm trying to think of other big spots. Again, LA Knight had a big reaction. He still gets big reactions, for whatever reason. And I guess some of this was on the show Unreal. I guess they have the reasons they're not as high on him as the fans are. Brock Lesnar was there, and he had a decent showing. But one of the worst parts of the Rumble to me, Leonard, and they gave the list of people who produced it. It was Jamie Noble, Bobby Roode, I forget who else, the two other people. And I don't think they did a very good job. And one of the reasons is because when Jey Uso came out, they had an extended thing of him doing his theme song. They're very big on theme songs now in WWE. And if I were in a room with the guy doing the music, I would look at him and I would say, "You are too good at your job." Because it is now detrimental to the talent, because people care more about their theme songs than they do anything they say or do in the ring.
I don't remember I coined that, the Fandango effect.
Yeah.
The song was over. The girl was over. The dancing was over. The pyro was over. He himself was not.
Right. And during Jey Uso's coming out and to the with the crowd and doing his thing, Brock Lesnar was eliminated. And no one noticed because the song was going on. And then they had Jey Uso get back in the ring and they had him redo his song again. They had him turn on the song again, which is just stupid. I'm sorry. But like, come on. I know everybody loves the song. Great. Good for you. But like, what are we doing? Anyway. And at number 30 was Gunther. No Chris Jericho. Signs everywhere about Chris Jericho, but he's not there. Technically, now, as of this recording, this might change based on when I post this, but I looked right after the Rumble, and he is still technically listed as being on the AEW roster. And some people might say, oh, who cares? But from what I've heard through the dirt sheets, AEW is super on top of their shit when it comes to updating their roster. So make of that what you will. I'm sure Chris Jericho will, at some point, if he wants his retirement run and the Hall of Fame induction and all that, I'm sure he'll, come back. But like as of now, it's not happening. So that is kind of it for the Rumble, Leonard. I'm sure you regret missing it.
It sounds like it. I mean, it sounds, I mean, we talked with Ronnie and he's more into just the idea of it, it seems. To me, everything sounded boring.
I
And I
used
get
to.
that. Some people love the Rumble for the Rumble itself. I think you and I are past that.
Yes, then you said it correctly. We're past that. And I used to be in the same shoes as Ronnie, where I was like so excited to watch the Rumble. It's the Rumble. It's a lot of fun because my kids want to watch it. Even my wife will sit in the room and watch it while the Rumble is on. And after year and year and year of disappointment, of like WTF moments, why are they having this person win? Why aren't they pushing this obvious person over here? It just lost that feeling for me. And, in this case, you have Roman Reigns, who's now challenged CM Punk for the world title. To me, that makes so little sense. It makes sense in terms of that'll be a good match because it's CM Punk and Roman Reigns. But Roman Reigns was a WWE Undisputed Champion. He had all the belts. So now he's like, no, I'm going to go for this clear lower belt because CM Punk has it. Well, we can't have Roman Reigns face Drew McIntyre because those are two kind of, guys with, well, Roman Reigns isn't necessarily heel anymore, but like, we don't want to see Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre again. They've had their feud. Like, it
Yeah.
just doesn't
Well,
make any sense to me. It doesn't.
I would say right now we just need to see how WrestleMania shakes out, and I would say it's probably not going to entice you and I any more than the Rumble has, but we will see when we get there.
Yeah, and I mean, so Saudi Arabia has WrestleMania coming up in years down the road, and I will say that they one last thing about the Rumble. Overall, I thought the Rumble was not very good, but they have like the crowd. They made this stadium temporarily. They created it in like 20 days or something like that, and the effect of the people in the seats. It looked like this. A lot of the seats were empty. And people were arguing online, like, oh no, it's not empty. It's just like an optical illusion. It's just the lights that are on the seats or whatever. And like, maybe, I don't know how many people were or were not there at any given time, but the effect was that a lot of it was empty. And that, to me, is not what you want. And no matter
No, so
what.
at least try if it's an optical illusion, well, fix it.
Right, yeah. So, and like other people have commented on it too. But in any event, let me know what you thought. If you love the Rumble, please comment. Argue with me, I don't care. We love to have any comments. So, check out our other videos as well. We are available wherever you listen to podcasts. For Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.